All right, so we're diving into something a little bit different this time.
A bit darker, maybe.
Yeah, you could say that.
But definitely fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. We're tackling Beatrice Garland's Kamikaze today.
Yeah, kamikaze. This poem,
You probably come across it in class, right?
I would imagine so.
It can be a bit tough.
It's definitely one of those poems that need some unpacking.
Yes, definitely. And that's what we're here for, to
Exactly.
kind of help you guys untangle it a little bit.
Yeah, because it's so much more than just a story about a pilot.
Right. It's about so much more.
It really digs into some big ideas like duty and honor and the pressure to fit in.
And all of that in the context of post-war Japan.
Exactly. You can't separate this poem from that historical moment.
No, absolutely not.
Japan after World War II, it was a society in upheaval.
And the concept of honor, right?
Huge.
Like it was everything.
Everything. And to defy expectations, especially in such a public way like this pilot does,
Oh man.
that had huge consequences.
Yeah, it's almost like the poem itself is a ripple effect.
Ooh, I like that.
Starting with this one tiny act of
Yes,
defiance.
then it just spreads outward,
Yeah, like those ripples in a pond.
touching everything and everyone around it.
Exactly. And Garland, she uses some really vivid imagery to pull this off.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when it comes to the sea.
The sea, yeah.
Remember those opening lines describing the fish, the
Oh,
sun?
yeah.
It's like you're right there with the pilot, you know?
It's almost cinematic.
It is. It is. But this isn't just about pretty pictures.
Right.
This imagery is doing some serious work in the
Oh,
poem.
totally. So what's the sea all about then?
Well, on one level, it represents life, vitality.
Okay. Yeah.
It's this stark contrast to the death and destruction the pilot is supposed to embrace.
Right, his mission.
Exactly. It's like the sea is pulling him back from the brink.
So it's more than just him seeing a pretty sunset and changing his mind.
Much more.
It's like the sea is this symbol of something deeper.
Right, a yearning for a different kind of life.
One that maybe aligns more with his own desires.
Exactly. And this tension between duty and personal desire, that's at the heart of the poem.
Yeah, Garland really makes you think about what it means to be honorable.
Right. Is it blindly following orders, even if it means self-sacrifice?
Or is it having the courage to make your own choices?
Even if it means going against everything you've been taught.
Now, one thing that always gets me about this poem,
Yeah.
we never actually hear from the pilot himself.
It's true, he's at the center of the story.
But his voice is completely silent.
That's a really interesting point. Why do you think Garland made that choice?
I don't know. It's like she's deliberately silencing him or something.
Maybe. Or maybe she's trying to shift the focus
Oh, interesting. To what?
to the impact of his actions on everyone else.
Okay, so instead of getting inside his head,
We're forced to piece together his motivations and the consequences through the eyes of others.
primarily his daughter, right?
Exactly. And this creates a sense of distance, almost like we're watching the story unfold from a remove.
And that's heightened by the two distinct voices in the poem, right?
Yes, the unnamed narrator and then the daughter's voice in italics.
It's like we're getting the story secondhand, which makes us work harder to understand what's really going on.
I think that's a deliberate choice by Garland. She wants us to engage actively with the poem.
To figure things out for ourselves.
Zachary.
So, speaking of figuring things out, let's unpack some of the key quotes, because I think they hold some serious clues.
Oh, absolutely. And we know this is something students struggle with.
Yes, so let's break it down a bit.
One line that always jumps out at me is, "Her father embarked at sunrise."
That seems simple enough.
It does, but there's a lot packed into that one line.
What do you make of the word embarked?
Well, it suggests a journey, a setting off into the unknown.
And then there's the sunrise.
Ah, yes. Usually a symbol of new beginnings.
But here it feels almost ironic.
Exactly. The pilot is embarking on a journey that's meant to be his last.
A sunrise that could be his final one.
It sets up this tension between hope and despair,
And highlights the tragic nature of his mission.
which is then contrasted later in the poem with the lines he and his brothers after they had soared up into the yellow sun.
Right. This time, the sun isn't a new beginning, it's a reminder of what he's chosen to reject.
Exactly. And then there's that incredibly powerful image of the pilot with a shaven head full of powerful incantations.
Oh, yeah. That one's intense.
It's not just a physical description, it speaks to the mental and emotional state of these kamikaze pilots.
The shaven head symbolizing their dedication.
Their willingness to sacrifice everything.
And the incantations, that's about the power of propaganda, right?
Absolutely. The way these young men were indoctrinated to believe that death was the ultimate act of honor.
It's chilling when you think about it.
It is, and this is where understanding the historical context is so important.
Absolutely.
Imagine being a teenager in post-war Japan.
Surrounded by this culture that glorifies self-sacrifice.
The pressure to conform must have been immense.
It's like the pilot is caught between two worlds.
Yes, the world of duty and honor that's been ingrained in him.
And then the world of individual choice that he glimpses when he sees the sea.
Precisely. And his decision to turn back, it disrupts that carefully constructed world.
It creates this ripple effect.
That will have huge consequences.
Not just for him, but for his family as well.
And speaking of his family, I think it's time we take a closer look at how the poem portrays the aftermath of his decision.
Particularly through the eyes of his daughter, right?
Exactly. She becomes our window into the family's struggle.
Yeah, picking up where we left off, it's like his return, the pilot's return, throws everything off kilter.
Yeah, he's there, but not really there, you know?
Exactly. Physically present, but emotionally absent.
Like a ghost in his own life.
And that speaks to the profound isolation he faces.
Oh, totally.
Rejected by his community, treated like he doesn't exist.
Even his own wife doesn't speak to him.
That line always gets me, my mother never spoke again in his presence.
It's so heavy, you know?
So much unspoken emotion.
All because he didn't die. Well, it's more than that, isn't it?
Right. It's about societal pressure, those expectations.
Exactly. That pressure to conform.
To uphold honor no matter the cost.
Even personal happiness.
And it's interesting how the poem contrasts the mother's silence with the daughter's observations.
Yeah, the daughter is the one who notices her father's withdrawal.
How he turns to the sea.
Seeking solace, maybe escape.
Yeah, and I think that's where the two voices in the poem really come into play.
The daughter's voice, even though it's filtered through the narrator.
It gives us a more personal perspective.
A closer look at the family's struggle.
And she's grappling with her own feelings about it all too, right?
Absolutely. There's confusion. Maybe even resentment.
But also a glimmer of understanding.
Remember that line? And sometimes, she said, he must have wondered which had been the better way to die.
Ooh, that one always sends chills down my spine.
It's a dark thought, but it also speaks to her attempt to understand her father.
To grasp the burden he carries.
Yeah, it's like she's trying to make sense of this impossible situation.
He chose life, but it's a life filled with shame and isolation.
And that raises a huge question, doesn't it?
What's that?
What does it mean to truly live?
Ooh, good question.
Is it about following society's rules, even if it means sacrificing your happiness?
Or is it about defining your own path, even if it means facing rejection?
That's a question that goes way beyond post-war Japan.
Oh, absolutely. It's something we all wrestle with.
All the time.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit and talk about the poem's language for a second.
Okay.
Because I think Garland does something really clever with her verbs.
Oh, tell me about it. Those complex verbs create such a sense of distance and uncertainty.
Like she thought, and he must have wondered.
Yeah, they put us at arm's length from the characters and her thoughts.
It's like we're looking through a foggy window.
You can't quite get a clear picture.
And that mirrors the pilot's own experience.
Right, exactly. He's there, but he's detached, lost in this fog of silence and isolation.
And those verbs also add to the overall ambiguity of the poem.
We never really know for sure what the pilot is thinking or feeling.
Does he regret his decision? We just don't know.
And that's part of what makes this poem so fascinating to analyze.
It's like Garland is inviting us to fill in the gaps ourselves.
And come up with our own interpretations.
And I think that's what makes this poem so relevant to students today.
It's not about finding the right answer.
It's about engaging with complexity. With those big questions about duty, honor, and choice.
Yeah, and those big questions are often woven together with smaller, more subtle details.
It's true. Those little things can be just as important.
Absolutely. Okay, now let's take a look at those final lines, shall we?
Ooh, yes, those are powerful.
Till gradually we too learn to be silent, to live as though he had never returned.
They really stick with you.
Heartbreaking, right. They suggest that the family, maybe even the whole community.
They just give in.
They choose to erase the pilot rather than face the challenge he represents.
It's like his act of defiance is swallowed up by silence.
And that speaks volumes about the power of societal norms.
Ooh, it's chilling.
It really makes you question how much choice we truly have.
Especially when faced with such strong cultural expectations.
Yeah, and this is where remembering the historical context is so important.
Post-war Japan. Honor was everything.
Any deviation from the norm was met with serious consequences.
So it makes you wonder, what if he had spoken up?
What if he had tried to explain himself?
would anyone have listened?
Or would he have been further ostracized?
It's a question the poem leaves us with.
And I think that's why it continues to resonate with us today.
It doesn't give us easy answers.
It challenges us to think critically about the world and the interplay between individual choice and societal pressure.
So as we move into the final part of our deep dive into Kamikaze,
yeah,
I want to leave you with a thought.
Okay.
We've talked about themes, imagery, historical context.
All the important stuff.
But the real question is, how do you connect with the poem?
What does it mean to you?
Exactly. What resonates? What questions does it raise for you?
Those are the questions that great literature inspires.
And they're the questions that can lead to a deeper understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
So we were talking about connecting with the poem on a personal level, and I think it's important to remember that Kamikaze doesn't really offer any easy answers, you know?
Yeah, it's not like a feel-good story with a clear hero and villain.
Right. It's more about those gray areas, the complexities.
The stuff that makes you think.
Exactly. And I think that's what can sometimes trip students up.
Oh, I bet. You want a simple answer.
Yeah, like, was the pilot right or wrong?
But the poem just doesn't work that way.
It resists those easy judgments, forces you to confront those messy questions about morality and what it means to be honorable.
Yeah, it's like the poem is holding up a mirror to us.
Ooh, Alila.
Making us ask ourselves, would we have the courage to go against everything we've been taught?
And for teenagers, especially.
Well, yeah, they're already dealing with so much pressure to fit in.
It's a really powerful message, I think.
Kamikaze encourages us to think critically, you know?
To question those norms, those expectations.
To carve out our own path.
And maybe that path means facing some tough consequences.
Now let's circle back to the sea for a moment.
Okay.
Because I think it plays a really interesting role in all of this.
It does. It transforms throughout the poem.
At first, it represents life, beauty. It pulls the pilot back from his mission.
Right. That initial instinct for survival.
But then, as the poem goes on, the sea becomes something else.
A symbol of his isolation. His longing.
Like in those lines, he must have wondered which had been the better way to die.
The sea, once a source of hope, now reflects his despair.
It's almost like it mirrors his internal state.
Shifting from a solace to a stark reminder of what he's lost.
And this shift is also reflected in how his family treats him, right?
Absolutely. At first, there's relief when he comes back.
But then, as they realize the social cost of his actions,
they withdraw,
choosing silence over confrontation.
And this brings us to the daughter.
Yeah, her perspective is so crucial.
She's our guide through this emotional landscape.
At the beginning, she's confused, maybe even a little angry at her father.
For disrupting their lives.
But as she watches him, sees his pain.
Her understanding deepens.
She starts to see him as a victim, caught between his own desires and this overwhelming societal pressure.
And those final lines when she says, "Till gradually we too learn to be silent, to live as though he had never returned."
Oof, my heart.
They're devastating, aren't they?
They suggest that the family, the whole community even,
they choose to erase him.
To pretend he never existed.
Rather than challenge the very system that led to his isolation.
And that's such a powerful statement about the fear of standing out.
The pressure to conform.
Especially in a society like post-war Japan.
Where honor was everything.
It makes you think, what if he had spoken up?
Tried to explain himself.
Would it have made a difference?
Or would it have just pushed him further away?
It's a question the poem leaves us with.
And it's a question that still resonates today.
Absolutely. Kamikaze challenges us to think about the world, about our own choices, about the balance between individual desires and those expectations that society places upon us.
Yeah, it's a poem that stays with you long after you finish reading it.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Kamikaze,
yeah,
I want to leave you with this.
Okay.
We've explored a lot today.
Themes, imagery, historical context.
But the most important thing is what you take away from it.
What resonates with you? What questions it sparks?
Because that's the power of great literature.
It pushes us to think, to feel, to connect with something bigger than ourselves.
So keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
And we'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.